the Lord Jesus Christ. And this passage is exciting for all of us, because if you're born again, you're going to find yourself in the passage. And that's a wonderful thing to look forward to. Verse 11, the Bible says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So I've entitled the message, Heaven Opened. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you'd meet with us now. And as we open your word together, we pray the Holy Spirit would take it and work in each of our lives to grow us, to change us, Lord, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray, Lord, that you would truly meet with us in this service, that you would be glorified in it, and that we would leave saying, truly, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We love you and commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we get to chapter 19, Revelation, God was very kind and laid it out for us chronologically. And so we find in chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Come up hither." And that for us as Christians, that's the next event in our calendar, is any day that trumpet could blow. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "I shall show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump." The Bible says the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And then in chapters 4 and 5, we find Christians in heaven. That's us, receiving our rewards for serving Jesus Christ while we were here on earth. And then chapter 6 to 18, we find the tribulation period. Terrible time. The worst time in human history on the earth. Trust me, you don't want to be here for that. And if you're born again, you won't be. If you're not born again, whatever you do, don't let them take this away from you. This will be your manual, so use it. But if you find yourself left behind, follow this book. Amen? Because this will protect you and help you. And then we come to chapter 19, and we find the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is where we are celebrating with our Savior, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as His bride. And then right after that comes this wonderful event, which the Bible prophesies of over 300 times, and that is the return of Jesus Christ physically to the earth. And when that happens, it'll be a glorious time. It'll be a very horrible time for many of the nations. But for us as believers, it'll be a victorious time, as we'll see. So the Bible says, verse 11, "I saw heaven open." Jesus Christ himself told us that he would go back to heaven, which he did. And he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And Christ is in heaven now, not only interceding for us, but as he told us there in John 14, he's preparing a place for us. And the Bible says that our conversation is already in heaven. If you're born again this morning, you're already part of Christ. And heaven is our future home. We're just temporary residents here. Now, we do get to come back, as we see, and spend 1,000 years, but it'll be completely changed. But it says when he returns, he will be on a white horse. When Jesus Christ returns, it will be literally, it will be bodily, just as was promised. If you go to Acts chapter 1, we'll have a quick look where the angels promised the disciples that when Jesus returned, everyone would know. You know, there are some groups out there who say, well, they already came back and we just missed it. Or whatever, but the Bible makes it very clear that when he returns, it will be something that everyone will see. Notice Acts 1:11. They also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." When Jesus left the earth and ascended back to heaven, the Bible says 500 people watched it happen. It was visible. They watched him physically leave the earth and ascend to heaven. And the angels said, he will return the same way. Everyone will see it. It will be visible. And then if you go to Revelation 1, the Bible makes it very clear that everyone will know when this event occurs. And this event, of course, the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth, probably one of the most prophesied events in all of Scripture, is the return of Jesus, maybe outside of the kingdom itself. But notice Revelation 1:7, it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? Every eye shall see him when he returns. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns, the Bible says he'll be on a white horse. It'll be visible. Everyone will see it occur. And then we're told in this passage the reasons why Christ is returning to the earth. We'll go back and talk about his names in a moment. But number one, in verse 11, why is Christ coming back? It says, and in righteousness he doth judge. When Jesus returns to the earth, he's coming as a judge initially. Now, if you want to know the details of that judgment, go to Matthew chapter 25 and just walk through the parables in there, and God explains what's going to happen, where Jesus is going to separate the nations. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and there will be a judgment. You and I will not be involved in that judgment. Our judgment took place at Calvary. Amen. Our sins were judged there. But there will be a judgment that takes place when Christ comes to the earth. He will return as a judge. He says in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. So Christ will gather all the nations and judge. And then if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible makes it clear that chronologically, first comes the judgment and then comes the kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So notice, when Christ comes to the earth, he will come as a judge to judge the quick and the dead when he appears, and then comes his kingdom. And that is exactly what the Bible teaches, because Revelation chapter 20 is all about the kingdom, the thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So when he comes, one of the reasons that Christ is returning is, number one, to judge. To judge. He also, the Bible says in Revelation 19:11, comes to make war. Now, this will be a very short war, but it will be a war nonetheless. And that war is described for us just down in verses 17 and 18 of the same chapter, Revelation 19. It says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that he may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. When Christ returns, it is to judge and to make war. If you go to Zechariah 14, we'll see where God describes this in more detail for us. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1. But Jesus Christ is not coming as a lowly babe in a manger. He is coming as a conquering judge and king when he returns to the earth. Notice Zechariah 14 verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand on that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So we're even told where Christ will stand when he begins to implement all these geographic changes on the earth. But he returns, as we see in our passage this morning, to judge and to make war. The word that he uses down in verse 15 of our passage, it says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations. Now that sword, of course, if you study it out, is his spoken word. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus doesn't need a literal sword. He's the Creator. He can speak the word and do whatever. And his spoken word is powerful enough to create the universe. And that is the sharp two-edged sword that goeth out of his mouth. But it says there in verse 15, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So this will be a time of judgment, a time of war, and a time of wrath of Almighty God. If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, God talks about this wrath that gets poured out at the return of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible tells us in this passage, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, which we're reading about this morning, he comes to judge and to make war and to execute the wrath of God. But he also comes, if you go back up to verse 12, he comes to rule. Notice it tells us there in verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Many crowns. And we're told down in verse 15, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. The Lord Jesus Christ is also coming back to rule. Now, Israel's been waiting for this for literally thousands of years, for the kingdom. Now, they didn't understand that when Jesus came the first time, he was the king. But he's always been the king. And this is the time when Jesus Christ will rule and reign on the earth. He returns with many crowns and he returns to rule. Now if you go to Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7, the Bible talks about how this has been prophesied for literally centuries. This prophecy would have been given at least 2700 years ago. Isaiah chapter 9, notice verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And look at the next phrase. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. So often when we read Isaiah 9:6, we're in a hurry to emphasize that he's mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace and so forth. But before all of that, it says the government shall be upon his shoulder. In other words, he's going to rule the earth. Down in verse 7, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, but upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. So when Jesus Christ returns, it's not only to judge the nations, which he will do. And again, Matthew 25 explains that in detail for us. But it's also then to rule and reign on the earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says in Zechariah 14:9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. Praise God. Jesus Christ will return to execute God's wrath, but also to return to rule and reign over this earth for 1,000 years, which is described for us again over in chapter 20. If you ever want to have a read there, God explains it in detail. It makes it very clear that this kingdom, this millennial kingdom, is for 1,000 years. So let's talk a bit about his names. Now, Christ has many beautiful and wonderful names, but there are a few names in this particular passage that tell us a lot about the person of Christ. And we understand now why he's returning, but let's talk about the who. And we're told in verse 11, it says, he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Now, I don't know about you, but I praise God for those names. That our God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. And that if it wasn't for the faithfulness of God, where would we be? we'd be in serious trouble, wouldn't we? But Christ names. It's not just telling us that He is faithful, which He is, of course, as God, but that His name is faithful and that His name is true. Remember, Jesus told us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is truth. And one of His names is faithful and true. And when He returns, the world will experience that faithfulness and that truth. Now, the second name that we find in this passage is in verse 13. And the Bible says His name is called the Word of God. Now, we talked about this a couple Wednesday nights ago in John. But Jesus Christ is the Word. And the Word is Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I've often had people say, that, you Baptists, you almost worship the Word of God. You make such an emphasis on it sometimes. Well, the honest truth is, this is Jesus. Amen? The Bible says, Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. In Psalm 138:2. Christ is the Word. And every morning when we open it, and I hope you open it every morning and you go to read it, you are feeding on the bread of life. Jesus Christ. He said Himself, I am the bread of life, and I want you to feed on Me. And that's exactly what you're doing when you open this wonderful book that God gave us. Jesus Christ, one of His names is the Word of God. We're told in 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. It doesn't say the Father and the Son, it says the Father and the Word, because the Son is the Word. So His names, as we see in this passage, He's faithful and true. He is the Word of God. And then He is also, verse 16, He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How can anyone question the deity of Jesus Christ and read the Bible? I don't know. But there's no way that Jesus Christ could be referred to as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords unless He is Jehovah. And this is one of Christ's names. He is not just a king, He is the King. Amen? And He is the Lord of all lords. He is God. And Jesus Christ, when He returns, this will be obvious because He will rearrange the earth. As we read in Zechariah, we just got a glimpse there. Remember, we went through Isaiah, we saw that He's going to literally change the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. Just with His spoken word. He's going to recreate this earth. And the good news for you and me is we get to be here for that. And that takes us over to verse 14. So we understand now why Christ is coming. He's coming to judge. He's coming to make war and to pour out God's wrath upon the earth, initially upon the nations. But Christ is coming to rule and reign on this earth. The kingdom that Israel's been waiting for, the kingdom that was prophesied over and over again in the Old Testament, Christ is coming to set that up. Verse 14, the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses. If you ever wondered if you're in the Bible, you just found yourself. Amen? If you're born again, that's you. That's us. Coming back with Jesus Christ to the earth. Now, it calls us armies, but it looks like we don't do much fighting. We just get to watch our general do all the fighting. But we will be on white horses, so people often ask, are there animals in heaven? I always say, well, I know there's at least horses. I don't know about anything after that, but there's definitely horses in heaven. If we've got literally millions, maybe billions of people coming back from heaven on white horses, that's pretty clear. And they're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So there's no question who that has to be. As you study it out, that fine linen, the Bible says, is the righteousness of saints. The righteousness which we get from Jesus Christ when we're born again. As the Bible says, you have made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So praise God, that's us. And I hope that if you're here this morning, you can say, I'm ready. I'm ready for the trumpet to blow. I'm ready to meet God because I want to be one of these people on a white horse coming back with Jesus. I know I'm born again. I hope you can say that. But the Bible says there in verse 8 of the same chapter, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, I know there's a group out there that uses the word saint a bit differently. But if you're born again this morning, you're a saint. And no, we're not going to build a statue to your name, and we're not going to name a holiday after you, but if you're born again, you're a saint. And when you got saved, you got that righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the linen. And if you go to Jude 14, I believe this is probably the oldest prophecy in the Bible. What a place for it to be found in the book of Jude. Why do I say that? Because a man named Enoch made this prophecy, who was the seventh from Adam. And outside of the prophecy in Genesis about Jesus Christ, this is the first prophecy that was given about the return of Jesus Christ. And notice what it says, Jude 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's us. So God was allowed Enoch to give a prophecy literally 5,000 years ago to say that when God returns to the earth, the saints come with him. And in the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job, you know what Job said? I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin were destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And so God allowed the man in the oldest book, in this first prophecy about the second coming of Jesus Christ, to be given by Enoch, all about Jesus coming back to the earth and us coming back with him. Praise God. So, are you ready? That's an easy question to answer. You're either born again or you're not. Are you preparing for the day when the trumpet blows? Because it could be today. And if it is, even so come Lord Jesus. Amen. If it isn't, we're to serve him. And we're to allow that hope of his return to change us. The Bible says, he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, in 1 John 3:3. We need to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. If you are, you will experience this wonderful event of the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, which we talked about a few weeks ago, and then sometime during that 7 years down here, up there, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb, and then the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, will come back to the earth to judge and to make war and to pour out God's wrath, but also to rule and to reign, and we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. The Bible, if you go to chapter 20, the Bible tells us this, Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Look at this last sentence. And shall reign with him 1,000 years. Think about that. That's us, reigning with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. When heaven opens, everything changes. Christ will come back to the earth. The Bible's been telling man about this for centuries. If there's one thing we can count on, Jesus is coming back. I hope you're ready for that event. And praising God for these amazing promises that we get to be a part of. The return of Jesus. And us coming back with him. And as we just read, ruling and reigning with him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for